Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
We've Alan Quinlan, I think, standing by. Quinny, good morning to you.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, interesting reading a lot of the back pages this morning of that story that developed up yesterday about Stephen Kenny that I think got us all a little bit by surprise. And we were just saying, myself and Owen, a bit earlier on that we kind of thought that this sort of stuff was a thing of the past where you would use that Ireland versus England thing as a motivation. Was it a thing in your time?
I'm not sure we had any videos and stuff, but certainly if we recorded and things that were said in dressing rooms and the build up to matches, they wouldn't be so pleasant. I think it's a load of bloody rubbish, if you ask me. And I'd have more of a problem with the person who has come out and spoken about it and letting FAI officials know about it than the actual video or any sort of motivational speech that Stephen Kenny gave. I think it's very disloyal. It should have been handled indoors if there was an issue with it, if somebody had an issue with it. I know it was flagged to Stephen Kenny beforehand. He decided to play the video and give the speech, but for the FAI now to be investigating
it. The thing is, Quinny, all of that could have happened. So somebody might have had an issue with it and they might have spoken to the manager about it at the time. And that might not be the person who's then obviously leaked the video. That's the nub of it, I suppose. And we'll find out maybe a bit more over the next little while. What sort of thing would you use and give us a bit of insight as to what shape that would have taken?
What kind of language would have used in dressing rooms? No, I couldn't share that stuff. But we watched a video of when we played Saracens in 2000 over in Vicarage Road. That Clonkidney played us a video of the Lion King. So that's a little bit different than playing stuff from the 1916 Rising. I think watching the Lion King and stuff. But it's not common, I think. Obviously, showing the history of games and looking back at big wins and stuff like that would be very prominent with any team, saying, well, look, this is how we beat them. This is how things work. These are some great sporting moments. And that would have been common enough, but nothing to that level. But again, I think it's a load of rubbish. I think it's, you know, for someone to take offense to this, I find it hard to accept that. I think it's unnecessary pressure being put on Stephen Kenny for it to come out now and be leaked out to the papers is strange. And like I said, if a staff member had an issue with it and continue to have an issue with it, well, it's got to be dealt with internally. You know, it's all over the headlines and all the papers and online and everywhere. So I'd have more of an issue with the person who leaked this, and hopefully we'll find out who that was.
Is it fair to say that it perhaps there would have been less of an opportunity or less of a reason to show this in a rugby dressing room, in an Ireland rugby dressing room? I guess it's an all-Ireland sport. This perhaps was really tapping into the Republic of Ireland football team to look at it from their perspective?
Not really, Owen. I think, like, even with the guys up north and playing for Ireland, you know, and all the history of the troubles up north and all that kind of stuff, You still wouldn't be conscious of being politically correct in things you say in a dressing room or say in a meeting or whatever. Look, if you're playing for a team and coach produces video or content or some people say that, well, you know, this is adult sport. They're paid professionals. I'm not saying you can take offense, but I just... Things get said before matches. Things get said in the build-up, and it's a bit strange that people are taking offence to it and saying it's political. There's nothing political about this. It's a bloody match. It's a soccer match. Stephen Kenny made a decision to play a video to try and give the players a lift, to try and gee them up a little bit. And I've seen a lot of stuff online last night where, well, if you're not motivated to play against England, of course, you shouldn't be there. But you know, if Ireland went out and had a great performance against a much stronger England side and got a better result, well, then you know, would people be saying the video was a great idea? Look, it's a decision Stephen Kenny made, and I just feel sorry for him now that he's to carry the can of this, and this is going to be kind of looming, and there's an investigation. He's got to go and talk to the FAI. But again, it's a storm in a teacup for me.
Did he run through walls, and did your performance go off the charts after watching The Lion King before that Saracens game?
it was comical, I think. But there was obviously a few key important messages in it. And I won't say it, we were banging off the walls, but we had to kind of chat amongst ourselves and understand what the reasoning was for behind it. But no, there was some good messages in it. And you know, whatever you do before a game should be amongst the group, amongst the staff. And for this stuff to come out is just stupidity, in my opinion.
I just have a mental image of Peter Stringer being hoisted aloft after the game. That you know, that's how that should have gone. He'd been in the role of Simba, of course. Let's talk about the game this weekend, Quinny. So Eddie Jones has been out. Like, it's all about what coaches and managers are saying these days. But he's been out yesterday talking about Ireland's United Nations team. So it's hinting at, obviously, trying to get under the skin of Ireland, the fact that there's five project players there. But when you dig a bit deeper on it, he is like, there is something there in terms of the inexperience of that team. And like, when you look at the spread of caps, Quinny, 433 in total for that Irish team versus 725 for England. And that matters, doesn't it? That level of experience.
Yeah, it does. And what matters, Adrian, is the last three results against England. I think we struggled physically against them. And look, he's always stirring it up, Eddie Jones. Is he really concerned about Irish players not getting picked over players who've come here and qualified through residency? Not in the slightest is he concerned about them. Was he concerned about Ben Spencer or Danny Kerr last year when he selected Willie Hines, a New Zealand-born player who qualified through residency, and he picked him in the England World Cup squad? You know, was he bothered or worried about Danny Kerr or Ben Spencer? Does he have an issue with that? Not in the slightest. You know, is he bothered about Maka Vunipola or Billy Vunipola? One was born in New Zealand, the other in Australia. He played Brad Shields a couple of years ago. In fairness to him, the New Zealander, he's an English parent. He captained Nathan Hughes, who was born in New Zealand, wanted to play for New Zealand and Fiji. Manu Tulangi is a Samoan. Joe Kathakunasinghe is a Fijian. So he's picked loads of players himself, and it kind of suits him to come out and say this. He's entirely only stirring the pot. He's done that before.
I heard somebody calling them United Nations, mate, which was like he overheard somebody on the tube or something. I don't know. It seems like a bit mad.
Yeah, when he's an Australian in England, isn't he? So you know what I mean. It's a lot of the stuff is contradictory. He called us the scummy Irish a few years ago, and that's kind of related to the Stephen Kenny video. You know, he did this lunch scummy Irish, then he said Wales is a shithole. You know, these things get said. I wouldn't pay a lot of heed to it, but I would go back to him and say, look, well, you picked Willie Hines last year. Were you worried about Danny Kerr, who started playing rugby at England when he was five? It is an issue for sure. We have eight players in the 23 who weren't born in Ireland. So thankfully that has changed. I know it's a very much divided opinion. Lots of people don't think it's the right thing to do. You know, Jamison Gibson-Park is starting ahead of Conor Murray. How does he feel? Andrew Conway is not in the match 23. James Lowe is playing instead of him. So there's plenty of examples there of people who should be feel aggrieved, the players. But the residency rule has changed to 5 years, and that's the way it is. We probably won't see too many of these project players anymore.
Mm. When we dig into the meat of the game, like, you look at that English back row, Quinny, Curry, Underhill, Vunipola, it's a powerful unit up against Dander O'Mahony, Doris. On paper, which is the better back row? How do you see that battle going?
Well they've the better back row. I'm doing player ratings for the game tomorrow, and you know, I've gone through both sides for the paper for the Irish Independent, and I've gone through both sides. And their back row, look, is the real strength. And even the pack, when you just kind of start naming out their forwards, you're thinking this is a daunting task, and they've kind of found a template in the last couple of years to unsettle Ireland and stop them from playing and physically outmuscle them. And historically, England have always had a very big, powerful forward pack. That's always been a challenge when you play the English national team, and it's going to be a big challenge tomorrow. So, you know, Curry and Underhill are, you know, probably the world's best at poaching the ball and attacking people's breakdown. There's a lot more to the game too. They're very physical and they're excellent ball carriers as well. And you know, you couple that with Bunapola, who's can be devastating. And any losses England have had in the last number of years, particularly success we've had, he's probably been missing for England when we've played him. So it's always going to be a challenge when you play England physically. And that's going to be no different tomorrow. I think Ireland have got to find a way to try and hold on to the possession and hold on to the ball, because I think England's game plan is power, but it's also pressure, trying to force the opposition into mistakes with the pressure they put on the opposition. And we've kind of buckled under that pressure in the last couple of times we played them, made silly mistakes and errors. You go back to the game in Twickenham, you know, missed tackles, people not covering open space, England being on the front foot a lot and us being sloppy with the ball. So I think Ireland, if they've any chance tomorrow, they've got to be really effective and hold on to the ball and play intelligently in where they play the game, because the pressure you get off Curry, Underhill and Itoje as well, particularly around the breakdown and when they're defending against you, they just force so many mistakes. So there certainly need to be a calmness and a control there. And then, you know, if you get to half time and you've had a good first half performance and you can take a little bit of confidence from that, well then, you know, maybe it's game on and Ireland can grow on a bit of confidence. But if England start this game in similar fashion to the last few, well, it could be a tough day out for Ireland again.
You mentioned being calm and composed there, Alan. Is there an element, though, as well, that Ireland need to find a bit of that manic aggression besides that as well? Because earlier in the year, one person who found that was, in fairness, James Ryan, who is captaining the side. And for him to show that again, I'm sure we can all expect him to do that very same thing again.
Yeah, well, it's a big opportunity. And obviously, you know, there was calls for him to be captain after the World Cup. This is... You know, there's a fair bit. Obviously, there's no crowds there tomorrow, but there's the perception after this. If Ireland get a good performance or even a win, which is unlikely, you know, you can imagine how that would elevate some of the players and even James Ryan's candidacy for being captain going forward. On the flip side, if it's a bad result and a bad performance, well, then there'll be lots of questions asked. So, look, he's a wonderful player and he has natural leadership qualities, mainly in how he plays. You know, he's not that vocal and he's not someone who I think who wants to be, you know, going to press conferences all the time and dealing with all the other stuff. But I think he's growing, he's getting more mature, he's a superb player. And with so many of the other players on, if they get a good performance tomorrow, even if it's a loss, I think that the key for Ireland is to come out of Twickenham tomorrow not being bullied. And I, you know, they need, of course, you need, if you're successful in these games and do well and win them or you're thereabouts, you have to bring a physicality and an intensity. And we've lacked that the last few times because England have set the standard right at the start of the game by smashing an Irish player, by, you know, turning them over, getting a big moment. And I think Ireland have to try and create those big moments tomorrow. There'll be lots of endeavour and there'll be a real determination for Ireland to go and try and get a performance and start well and do these things right. It doesn't always happen, but... You know, attitude. They won't need to be played any videos for tomorrow. I think, you know, they've individually and personally, they've got a real, bring a real attitude to, with them tomorrow. And look, they're hurting from the last number of losses. And, you know, I don't want to be chatting to you guys on Monday morning talking about, well, we were beaten up again and we were slow out of the blocks and we were soft in the tackle. It can be very difficult because England have the ability to smash anyone physically. So that's going to be a real test. But bringing intensity and a real fire to match that will certainly help.
Yeah. All right, Quinlan, we'll let you away. Thanks, William.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
Alan Quinlan on the line there. As always, on a Friday, ahead of a fairly monster game for Ireland, for this Irish team as well. See how they go and exactly what sort of tactics that very experienced English 15 will approach the Irish team with.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.